feet, running away. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. My God is king. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
will stand before the throne of grace this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify and magnify your precious and holy name. Lord, your name is above every name. At the sound of your voice, all creation bow before you. Lord, at the sound of your name, all spirits subject to your name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this morning as we come, we first thank you for the privilege,
yes,
to be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High. Lord, we thank you that each and every time we come before you, you don't let us live the same. There's always the transformation and the change that happen within us. There's always instruction for us to live by. There's always encouragement. There's always healing. There's always, always, and always a restoration. Father, we thank you and we praise you. This morning, that your Holy Spirit will take charge, that we will receive the word of the Lord this morning, that the spiritual man will come alive as ever before, that we will live by every precept that proceeds out of you, and that at the end your name will be glorified, that all men will know who you are and what you've done. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Welcome to House of Prayer International Ministry. Hallelujah. It's always a pleasure. It's always good to see men and women in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because it's designed for men and women, not for dogs and cats. It's designed for people. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you look like. Ugly, good looking. We are all creation of God. Hallelujah. So, this morning I'm taking you into the Word of God, and we're going to take a look at a certain thing. Last Friday, if you were here, you remember we talked about the fire, hallelujah, that revived, the church that revived us, and how there's a need for every one of us to experience the fire of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to continue this morning talking about heat. Heat is essential for life as far as humans are concerned. Are you with me? The seal and the polar bear, they live, or they can survive in minus 100 degree temperature. It really doesn't matter. But something is we need to pay attention to as far as this animal are concerned is that though the temperature may be minus 50, minus 100 outside, but inside the body, it's a different story.
Yeah.
The temperature is not in the minus. Their body produces enough fat to keep the cold outside and keep the heat inside. And that's how they survive. Amen?
Yeah.
Animals that we see in the ocean, the water may be cold, but somehow they can maintain their body temperature. Heat is essential for life. When you run to the hospital and you say, I'm sick, the first thing they want to take your temperature. They want to know if you are maintaining your body temperature. Because if you are not, that is a sign that something is happening within. Something is out of order. Hallelujah. So it is for our spiritual man also. Just as you know, we are built, we have the spirit inside, we have the soul, and we have the body. This body temperature is around 37, well, is Celsius. 37? In Fahrenheit, it's about 98.6. Only in the United States they use Fahrenheit, and we don't know why. But you have to maintain that temperature to be healthy, to be fine. So your spiritual man also need to be able to maintain the spiritual heat that is needed in order to be alive, so life can continue. So physically, if you are not maintaining your temperature, somehow they have to get the temperature to your body. Then, in the wintertime, what do? We stay inside. Because if we stay outside, we're going to freeze to death. Because the temperature of the body will fall below what is needed. And as a result of that, the person will die. But to maintain the body temperature in the wintertime, we stay inside. We put on clothes, a whole bunch of clothes. We keep moving so the body can keep producing heat. Hallelujah. So life is a very good thing, but it must be maintained. You take shower, you clean yourself, you put on all those, what you call them, perfume, cologne, and women will put some more dirt in their face after they take a shower. It's all part of life. What is this? It's dirt. That's what it is. We will not call it dirt because it doesn't sound good, but that's where it came from. To make this man look good outside, so the spiritual man also must be looking good, and there are things that we can do to make sure he's looking good. Are you there? We're going to go into the Word of God this morning. Amen? It's going to be very interesting. If you have your Bible, in case you don't have one, we have Bibles available. You can just grab one for yourself. Amen? Amen. Let me take you first to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Are you there? Amen. It's not for no reason that we have a God to serve. Amen. Somebody said to me this week, I'm an atheist. I said, it doesn't matter who you are, you believe in something. So everybody believes in something. Are you there? He said, for our God is a consuming fire. Why our God is a consuming fire? First of all, what is fire for? What do we do with fire? We need to understand this. We don't just use fire to burn things or cook things. We cook things with it. Yeah, thank you. That's one thing we do with fire too. But when we put the pot on the stove, what are we expecting? We are expecting that pot to get heat from the fire. So the heat is what we are expecting from the fire. If you have fire and there's no heat in it, what good is the fire? Amen. Because there are fake fires these days. There are. You can even hold it in your hand and it will not burn you. Yeah. So what good it is to have a fire that cannot produce heat? Because what you need from fire is the heat. The heat is what heats or boils the water. The heat is what melts the iron. The heat is what do the job. So let me give you one example. I was on a job. I was a few years ago. We were messing with some very high explosive stuff. And when you know better, you want to do better. If not, you're gonna pay a price for it. So we were messing with this fire. It was about 10 feet from me. And we were not expecting wind gusts from outside to shoot the fire towards us. So as I was in front of this fire messing with it, and here come the wind gusts, and nobody knew because we were inside, but there was a little opening for wind to come and go. And the fire got shot towards me. The fire didn't reach me. But the heat, because we were messing with almost 5,000 degrees temperature. That's not a joke. 3 feet from my hand, I get 10 degree burn. The fire was 3 feet from my hand. But the heat from that fire burned me. So that tells you, if the fire was about a foot from my hand, my bone would have been burned. So the heat is what we are after when we start fire. Amen. It's all about the heat. So here the Bible is telling us that our God is a consuming fire. So if God is fire, that means God produced some heat. Because he's fire. A fire. Whatever is in the fire consuming stuff on his path is nothing but the heat. When we eat, our body takes the nutrients to produce what we call energy. But what we forget is that heat is energy. Hallelujah. Heat is used in the plant to produce electricity. Heat is used. If they turn it off, the light will go off. In nuclear plant, when they get? It's the heat. So heat is essential when we look across our life, whether modern life or old life. Heat is needed. There's no other way to put it together. There's no other way to go around it. Heat is just needed. In everyday life, individual life, heat is needed. So like I said earlier, our spiritual man also is in need of heat in order to survive. Because if your body temperature drops to 0 degrees, that means you are not alive. If your spiritual temperature drops, that means your spiritual man will die. So the Bible says God is a consuming fire. So he is a fire that can produce the heat that our spiritual man is in need of. Because our spiritual man can get heat from the food that we eat.
Yes.
So therefore, there must be a way to provide heat to the spiritual man. And God made himself a consuming fire to produce the heat that is needed so the spirit of man can live on. Are you there? Are you there? Let me show you a scripture where heat was used to raise somebody back to life. Let's go to 2 Kings. Chapter 4. And let's start with verse 33. Are you there? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 33. He said, he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them to him, and prayed unto the Lord. So that tells you the man here is the man of God. These demons don't pray to God. Okay? The enemies of God do not pray to God, because the Bible says the prayer of the unrighteous is as an abomination unto God. So a man that pray unto God from inside out, yet, like you said, this is a man of God. This is a prophet we're talking about. He and pray unto the Lord. Verse 34, that's what I want you to pay attention to. And he went up and laid upon the child. The child was dead, okay? And the woman laid the child on the bed that she prepared for the prophet. The child has been dead. The body temperature was way below normal. Was way below where somebody can remain or stay alive. The temperature is out of the question because the child was dead. So the woman laid the dead child on the bed of the prophet and called the prophet. And when the prophet came, the Bible said he went inside. And now what he did? Listen to what he did. And he verse 34. And he went up and laid upon the child. The prophet put his body over the body child. And listen to what he said. And he said, and put his mouth upon his mouth. We are not talking about homosexuality here. No. This is something spiritual that is happening. And put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child begged warm. So what happened here is that the prophet transferred heat over to child to the child. So the child cannot survive with the current temperature that the body has. So there is a need for temperature. And what we're talking about here is spiritual. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Because you ain't going to lay yourself on a dead body in the bed. Dead body's going to come back to life. Mm-hmm. That dead body will embrace you and keep you there. So we're talking about something spiritual. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the prophet laid his body over the child's body. And the Bible tells us in the previous verse that he prayed unto the Lord. And what happened was that he transferred life, because heat is life, and he transferred that heat over to the child. And all of a sudden, the body of the child just gets warm.
Lord, it doesn't matter where you are. If you can, you are listening to me, or you ain't listening to me, but you are sitting here. You can be breathing by your bed. And you know what? There is a way that God can do it. He can come in, let His spirit upon your spirit. Hallelujah. His mouth against your spiritual mouth. His hand against your spiritual hand. His body against your spiritual body. And transfer heat of life unto you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Our God is an awesome God. So just like He did it here with a child, so He can do it with anybody. And you know what is happening across the world? In just we are living in a country where we think we have so much knowledge coming, but we have no knowledge coming in.
Because all we have is CNN and Fox. They tell us what we want to hear. Or what they want us to hear.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we have no information.
Hallelujah!
Let's keep it moving. The Word of God got all the information here. Anything you want to know, it's going to be here. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, let me take you to the 1 Kings, chapter 18. A whole nation was dead. Spiritually dead. A whole nation, chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. A whole nation, verse 38. A whole nation was spiritually dead. Okay? You say, oh, what does that mean? That a whole cow in the world, a whole nation can be dead. A nation that does not recognize God and give God the place that He rightfully deserves in the nation, that nation is a dead nation. We get up every morning, we get on the train, the planes are flying, everything is moving, we think we are like, we dead as a nation! Because what? We have removed God in the vital areas of our life, or of the society. Individual may be alive, but the nation as a whole is dead. So Israel finds itself in this position, where they have walked away from God, started serving idols, serving demons. There was a municipality in Pennsylvania. They don't want anything about Christmas. They brought in Satanists to celebrate and have their feast in the city hall. Satanists. And they put their decoration in the public place. But what have we done for these people? And anything about Christianity is just evil. Anything that is evil, they embrace it and they love it. Yeah, it's killing them, but they just can't see it. Right here. I was so surprised that it was close to us. I thought it would have been somewhere on the West Coast. Because that's where they established their throne and stuff of that kind. But Pennsylvania. It's very, very heartbreaking. But Israel did the same thing. So after the day, God called the prophet and said, go over there, and you know what? Something is about to happen. No, I can't let these people go anymore. They are walking dead. Not the movie, but they were actually walking dead because the spirit was dead inside them. There was no heat among them. Now, for God to bring the nation of Israel back to life, an individual back to life, there is a need for fire to come down. And the Bible says here, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. It fell from where? From heaven. God sent the fire from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. A fire that consumed a burnt offering, consumed stone, consumed water, consumed meat, bullshit, everything is a fire with intense heat. It's a fire with intense heat. Because the temperature must be beyond imagination for something of that kind to happen. You see, in the nuclear plant, we take the atoms and we break them into, we take a big atom and we break them into smaller atoms, and then all of a sudden, heat come out. Okay, one time they said, oh, this is, we can't really do this because what? The heat that will be produced will be too much. We cannot, there's no material that can really handle it. All of a sudden, science advanced and they build up, they came up with the manufacturing material that can handle that kind of heat. Now we're talking about fusion reaction. The first one is called fission reaction. This one is fusion reaction. Fission reaction, where we take two smaller atoms, we put them together to make a bigger one, and heat is released.
Now, this one, they say, oh, this one is way too much. If we do this, we will melt the entire earth because the heat that will be produced will be beyond and we cannot control it. So think about it. If that much heat will be produced and the material that will be used for the experiment and to do all this, all of them will be consumed and melt down in a matter of split of a second. That tells you this is extreme heat. But when you compare that, you look at that, compared to what is happening here in the book of 15, and the fire came down, and it didn't take time. It wasn't a matter of, oh, a few minutes when the fire burned and started. No, it was a matter of split of a second. Bang! Everything was gone. Our God is a consuming fire, intense heat. So it doesn't matter how low your spiritual man's temperature is, God can bring it out in a matter of no time. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Hallelujah. So God used fire to bring back to life the entire nation of Israel. Because at the end of this sacrifice, where the prophet of demons were removed out of the land, Israel came back to worship God again. And God was with Israel one more time. Are you there? Hallelujah. And when that happened, you know what? You begin to find people like Jeremiah. Have you ever met a guy that when you were in school, he was just boring because he was talking about God. Anything he can say, anything without mentioning God. He was so boring. Do you remember somebody like that? Yes! Because what? We can't identify with that back then. Yes. He was so boring. Prophet Jeremiah was one of the class. He was one of those also. What happened was that the fire, instead of the fire being all over the nation, the fire was shut up in his bones. The fire was in his body. Now, listen to what happened. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20. Hallelujah. Are you there? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It is then I say. And you know what? In this time in history, people were not serving God. This is a different time compared to the time we were talking about earlier in the book of 1 Kings. These people, again, get to that place where they serve God for 15 minutes and all of a sudden they are tired of Him. And went back to their own way or their own thing. So here he said, the prophet said, then I said, I will not mention of Him, nor speak anymore in His name. But His word was in my heart as the burning fire shot up in my bones. And I was worried with forbearing, and I could not stay. Sometimes you got too much heat. You get too much heat.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. You get too much heat. And you know what? You got to dissipate that heat. You got to let it out. You can't keep it inside because when the temperature rises too much, also it's not a good thing. You see, when you just keep eating, you become a bean. You become unhealthy. That's why when you realize that you're getting fat, just start sharing your food with somebody. That's the easiest way. That's one thing they will not tell you on TV, it's how to lose weight. You know, when it's time to eat, just bring two people in. And let the three of you eat that place. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen? You're not going to be full.
Yes, sir.
But that's it. Hey. That's why my brothers, Africans, will not get fat. You know what? Back in the day, they would have one plate and one round big, well, not the plate, that's not even a plate. That's like a bowl. It could be like 2 feet. Why? Across. From one point to another, it's going to be 2 feet. And they will put a foot in. And as many as people can sit around that boat, and so then, because if you got to sit and you know, so because you gotta provide space for other people. And you sit around that bowl. And you all start eating at one time.
Hey, if your hand is not built to go into a hard food, you're gonna learn it.
Oh, because you watching me expert.
It gets to a place where we have to train our hand to go into a boiling oil, to take the food out of the boiling oil, to train the hand to do it. So you don't feel the heat. Otherwise, you will not be nothing but skinny. That's why you don't see much African kids walking around with belly like a pregnant woman. It's time to eat. Call somebody in. Share it. When you have too much in it, you're going to become fat. So the prophet said, you know what? It's like a fire shot up in my bones. It's like fire in my heart. And you know what? He was speaking it, but there was opposition. And at one point he said, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to speak it anymore. I'm going to stop it. But you know what? He's going to blow up. He had to relieve it. It's like a pressure building inside. You have to relieve it. So it's all right when you have come across people that can just help you by speaking the name of God, the name of the Lord. Always want to give you the word somehow. And even though they know you don't like it, but somehow the fire was infiltrating your life and giving it to you somehow. It's all right. Because what? They are transferring heat to your spirit. They are, in other words, they are giving life to your spirit. That's what they're doing. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. God understands that one person is not good enough to raise his own body temperature. I'm going to show you right now. One person is not good enough to raise his own body temperature. Let me take you to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Mm-hmm. We look at verse 11. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11. Are you there? This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know what it said? It said, and then, if two lie together, then they will have heat. But how can one be warm alone? This is not a license for fornication or prostitution. What he's talking about here is that man or human are just one species, okay? The human race is not enough or good enough to maintain its own spiritual heat. There has to be some other or external or an outsider that has to help the spirit of man to bring the spiritual heat of man to a place where he can maintain life. Mm-hmm. And that's where God comes in. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what I was saying about the prophet laying over the child, the dead child, to transfer heat to the child, to bring the child back to life. It wasn't his own body temperature per se, but the spiritual heat in him was what he transferred over to the child. Let me show you something else. Let's go to the book of Romans and see what happens. Now this is going to be out of the water. Are you there? If this doesn't hit your spirit, then you need to start shouting. Shouting what?
Hallelujah.
Come on, Romans, the book of Romans. Romans 8, verse 11. Are you there? This explains everything. Romans 8:11. Are you there? He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He started saying, if the spirit of him, spirit of, who is him? The spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. dwelleth in you. Now, what do we need to understand here is that Jesus was dead. I use here. He was dead. His body was laid in the grave. The body's temperature was way below a living person's body temperature. Now, for Jesus to come out of the grave or be raised from the dead, there must be or there's a need to raise his body temperature. And who can do it? The Bible is telling us that the Spirit of God, hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says God is spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Therefore, those who worship him in the light, they must worship him in truth and in the spirit.
Amen.
Now, the Spirit of God is the one that came into the grave when the body of Jesus was laid. And I said the temperature of the body of Jesus was below a living person's body temperature. So when the Spirit came into the grave, it raised the body temperature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the Bible is telling us that the same Spirit that you say hit over to Jesus in the grave is in us to raise us. Hallelujah. When that time finally comes, he can raise us also from the dead. So you must understand that today you can die. That's all right. You can die tomorrow. So what? Who cares? But the day, when a day will come when your body will come out of the grave. It doesn't matter if they build a skyscraper over your tomb. The Bible says where? The Spirit that dwells in us now, which is the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit that raised him from the dead, that transferred that heat over to him and brought him out of the grave back to life. That same Spirit will do the same thing with us.
Amen.
As of right now, if you are living and have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, your spirit is dead. You are walking around in a dead spirit. What can happen right now is that the Spirit of Christ can come in you, that same spirit that went into the grave and brought Jesus out 2,000 years ago, can enter you right now and bring your spirit back to life. And you can walk out of this house with spirit alive.
Amen.
You can walk out of this place with your spirit being alive. And it doesn't stop there. You can die today or tomorrow. Your body can be buried or be eaten by anything. Because as for me, I don't care if I'm dead. I don't care what to do with my body. Because what? When that day comes, it doesn't matter what I did with the body will come back to life. And you know what? It will be glorified, the Bible says. Therefore, it doesn't matter. I don't care what I did with it. The silence doesn't matter to me because I'm in heaven. They don't want to bury it. Look at it. It's not my problem. The day will come where the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter what that body is, whether they preserve it or not. Those men who eat that body, they will vomit every piece of it because the body will come back. Yeah. We'll be able to recognize as one another. Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So the same Spirit that was Christ from the dead dwell in you, the Bible says.
Amen.
Who is you? You who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You that are serving God today. That same Spirit is you. Therefore, you know what? You cannot die. You will go to sleep for a moment. Christians don't die. That's one thing we don't understand. Christians do not die.
Right.
You say, well, man, his father preached the Bible all his life, but he died. No, he went to sleep. Because what? The time will come when he will come out of there. But as of right now, he's hearing what you're saying from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Stop insulting him. He's in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay. From the dead. That same Spirit is joining us. And that is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He says, shall also quicken your mortal body. So it's a mortal body. What is body? This is the physical body that is going to be laid in a grave. And that's the one that will be raised again when that time or that day someone comes. So there is a need to have the heat. So go back to Ecclesiastes 4:11. He said, how can one get warm? So there's no way human can get warm by themselves as far as eternal life is concerned.
That's where the need for the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes in. He's a separate entity. He's God. Now God come and mingle with man. You become a supernatural being. They asked me this week, they said, why is it that you don't get wet, you don't sweat? I said, I maintain my body temperature. They said, how do you do it? I said, when you ask a Navy SEAL, they'll tell you how they can survive in the freezing cold water for hours. I said, were you a Navy SEAL? No, but I am a special force. Hallelujah! The sons and the daughters of God are special force. They are a different breed of people. We understand. That's why I said to you, you know what? All this is happening. We should not be shaken. We do not live in fear. Because we are a different breed of folk. Our spirit mixed together with the Spirit of God, we are now a supernatural being.
Hey,
living in the natural world.
Amen.
Living in the natural world. Supernatural being living in the natural world.
Thank you, God.
That's why we can take so many bumps and still stand it.
Amen.
That's why we are crushed on every side. But yet, we still here. We have been thrown down, but we are not shattered. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
There's a reason behind.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We are not just natural folk. We are not any kind of folk. Oh, we are all the same. Oh, we are not. No.
Amen.
You can see that you satisfy yourself, but we are not the same people.
Amen.
Yeah. We are not the same people.
Amen.
We have a continual source of heat that we carry. And you know what? Nuclear plants, they have to remove the fuel after some years. They have to remove the nuclear rods out of the reactor, shut it down. They have to constantly cool it down with hot water. Otherwise, Chernobyl will happen. What happened in Russia where the nuclear plant blew up? Nuclear meltdown?
Yeah.
We have a continual source of heat. Because what our spirit has been mingled with the Spirit of the Lord. Like I said, we are now a supernatural being. That's why the spiritual man at this point can no longer die. Oh no, he just can no longer die. The prophet said it's like a fire shot in my bone.
Yeah.
It's like a fire in his heart and off that shot up in his bone. That means the fire can come out. Jeremiah, you cannot walk away from it. There's no way, because it's now in your bone. Hallelujah. Are you there? So just as Jesus was brought out of the grave, the Spirit went in there and warmed his body. So Jesus did for Lazarus when he came to the grave. The body had been dead for days. So the body was in decomposition state when Jesus got there. But you know what happened? Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And when he was saying, Lazarus, come out, what did he say? Holy Spirit is dead into Lazarus. And all of a sudden, the man came out of the grave and the folks started running. Because they have not seen this one before. They started running. There was a video that I saw from Germany, I believe. The woman had her twins. Mm-hmm. And the both babies were left in the cribs, and one happened to be dead. And the doctors don't know how to tell her that one of the babies is dead. Because they just found out.
And the queen was in the room with the woman. And the father also just came in to the room. And the news was broken that one of the child is dead. She started crying. She went to look into the crib. And the other one that's alive is pretty much crying. And she picked up the one that was dead. And she cried over the baby. And the baby responded by crying back.
Wow.
She held the baby against her body. And she cried over the baby. And the baby responded by crying back. You say, wow, that's what happened to you and me.
Well.
We were laid down and dead till Christ came and picked us up and cried on us, and we respond by crying back to him. That's what happened.
Amen.
So remember, our God is a consuming fire. That means continual source of heat to sustain life.
Amen.
All right? Scientists talk about how sun will never run out of heat. God said heaven and earth shall pass away. Because why? He has created the sun. He knows how to bring it down and quench it with the fire.
That's right.
You say, how do you quench fire with fire? God knows how to do it. Firefighters sometimes will have to do it as well.
Amen.
The heaven and earth shall pass away. But the word will forever remain.
Amen.
And the word, the prophet said, is shedding his bones. And that was the fire in him. The word of God is fire. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So, if you want anything today, you have to be. There's the continual need for heat in order to remain alive. And this heat we're talking about is not just a natural heat. Your natural body needs a natural heat. Your spiritual man needs spiritual heat. We eat food so our natural body can produce heat, which we call actually energy, but actually it's heat. Heat is energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of energy you produce is heat to raise constantly the body temperature to a normal level. So, for you to be spiritually alive, you got to be eating spiritual food as well.
Amen. Amen.
You read the word of God.
Amen.
You go to church. You pray.
Amen.
You serve God. If you just eating food and you are not exercising, you will become bigger than the house you live in. That's just the truth. And at the end of the day, you will not be able to walk. And eventually, there will be death. Our spiritual man needs to be exercised.
Yes.
What exercise do we do? Do the work of the ministry.
Oh, wow.
Do the things that God said we should do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Share the word with somebody. That's a spiritual exercise. It's all the way to sharing whatever you have with somebody else. When you do it for spiritual reason. All the way to the job that you do. The Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord. That is exercising your spiritual man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tired of it. You know what? The Bible says, do everything as exercise. I was confronted yesterday. I said, well, you say you're not going to go in there and find out if this guy has something going out. I said, yes, I'm not going to do it. Because, well, first of all, we are not supposed to do it. And he said, now he want to use the word of God. The Bible says, do unto others as you have them do unto you. I said, let me ask you, if you own this company, and your employee are using your money and your time the way you are using it, will you be happy? If you got to look at it from both sides. You don't just look at your employer as, okay, I can just use him.
Mm-hmm.
No. He
money on you. He's paying you. And he said, this is what I want done. For me to be able to save money and continue to provide you with a job and pay you and give you benefits, this is what, this is how I want it done. You're not going to go around and say, oh, no, because I, that person, that's the way I would like it to be done, therefore I will do it like that. No, you're wasting somebody else's money. Let us be wise in everything that we do.
Amen.
The way you want to be treated, yes, treat people like that. But if I own this company, if I don't own it right now, but if I own it, I would like my employee to do it the way I want them to do it. So because I would like them to do it the way I want them to do it, therefore I will do it the way they want to do it. Once in a while, I can get off my way to find out if that doesn't have anything going on. That I do it for many other people. Because what? My company is not losing anything by me doing it, because those people I do it for, it brings more money into the company. So whatever I do, it's for the good for the company. So ladies and gentlemen, anything you do in life, you must do it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, because it pays off. It does. It may take a while or a very long time, or you may grow up and die, nobody will ever notice it. But you know what? God will notify that. Because what? His word said to you, and whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And you did everything you do as unto the Lord. No man takes note of that. But the Lord God that is in the heavens sees everything. Continual exercise for the spiritual man is a need. And that's what we do. When we do mission, that's exercising the spiritual man. It's faith, yes, but it's an exercise for the spiritual man. The spiritual man has to be exercised based on faith. So, whatever you do, in case, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. In case you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I will just say to you right now, your spirit is not alive, it's not living. The only time your spirit will become alive is when you say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as Lord and Savior. That is the time when the Spirit of the Lord, which is also the fire, will come into your spirit and make your spirit alive. So, somebody, anyone, this morning will say, yes, I want my spirit to be alive before I leave this place. If there is anyone this morning, you can just raise one hand. You are never too young, you are never too old. That's one good thing. As long as you can understand what I'm saying, do you want your spirit to be made alive? Yes. 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 Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Well, if you have done it, come on. Let's give you a hand. If you know you are alive and well, and if the roof falls right now, you're going all the way to heaven. You ain't standing here for anything. All right. Hallelujah. If there's anyone that is in need of prayer this morning, ladies and gentlemen, prayer is what we do in House of Prayer. That's why our name is House of Prayer. Prayer is what we do. Whatever the reason may be, you can just come up and we will pray. If not, let's close our eyes. You are the Lord that changes my
changes.
Hiya!
We shout to you and we worship. Jesus Christ, bringing restoration and wholeness to mankind. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's wonderful to see everybody in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
And it is just wonderful to be in the house.
Amen.
You have someone here and during testimony time, they will always say, glad to be here.
Amen.
It's a good thing, and your soul should be
happy
that you were able to come into the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
As Mother said it earlier, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. As far as our announcements today, we have, I'll let Pastor give an update of calling for those that have not heard yet. And also, the last Friday of this month is our all-night prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're here from 7, and we'll just say until.
Amen.
7 until. So, that until could be 12, it could be 10. Whatever the Lord does.
Amen.
Feel it, and we go. We don't force anything.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have any praise reports? I'd like to open the floor for testimony that has done something somebody would like to say thanks for.
Chris, one of the reasons I'm here, I came late, but I wanted to give this testimony. Everybody know that, some know that I had surgery, and I have an ICD unit, every 7 years you need batteries, you need a battery change, and they got a little expensive battery. And I had been 10 years, the doctor was getting quite upset, very restless because I went so far past the time. As a matter of fact, I had planned a fishing trip, and he wanted me to counsel. That's how anxious he was about it. He told me that I want you to cancel it and make the appointment for the operation. I told him I had paid for the fishing trip and going on the fishing trip. And you see how things, I want you to see how Satan can slip things in that can be legit, that can be authentic, that can be real, that you can go on. But if you step out a little bit past that, there are other things that God got in store for you. I went to the fishing trip, and on the second day, my roommate gave his life to the Lord.
Oh,
he got saved and kept asking questions about the journey. Now, if I had canceled my fishing trip, I would have missed that opportunity to witness and share the gospel. And when I got back, I said, Doc, you might not understand what I'm about to say, and I was telling about that. No, he started smiling. He said, well, thank God. He thanked God. He said, I know, I was surprised at his response to that. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, the prison saying, what did you give for the exchange of your soul? If I had to change my soul or my life for the life of a person entering the kingdom of God, that would have been all right with me. That would have been just fine with me. If I had to leave this world on account of somebody else entering the kingdom, that would have been just fine with me. Because I would have been there with them, rejoicing. So that would be fine. Especially, I would have missed that opportunity if I hadn't went fishing. See, God always have a ram in the bush. You know, He always make a way for something. You know, I was so glad. Matter of fact, fishing trip, I love fishing. Fishing trip went on the back burner. For the next 2 days, all we were doing was rejoicing and praising God for the salvation of my roommate.
Amen.
See, even on the bus coming back, we were talking about the salvation of my roommate. You know, I rejoiced so much in that. Like I said, after I got back and I was telling people about it, and I called them, you know, and I called them. So I've been calling them ever since that. You know, one of the things we do, we bring a fish in, and then we let them go.
Yeah, that's true.
I say when you're fishing, I'm an advocate fisher, and you get the first thing everybody on the boat yells when you catch a nice big fish, get him in the boat, get him in the boat, get him in the boat. That's the first thing everybody else. Then when you get him in the boat, then everybody's scrambling to put him in a sack so he won't slide through one of the cracks off the boat that the water broke. You make all this effort until you get that fish home, frozen, in the freezer. Then you're satisfied. The same thing when you fish your men. If you bring him up to the edge of the boat, let him fall back and never follow up, you have just lost the fish.
That's true.
So many fish are lost because we don't follow up. We don't go back. We don't see how is he doing. What role is he traveling now? Is he still hanging on? We don't do that. So many fish we lose because of that. You know, we have to, when you bring somebody in, I call them up, how you doing? How's your walk with Christ doing? Do you have any questions? You keep following up, until he is solid, his feet is on the ground. When his feet is on the ground, the fish got frozen, he's in the freezer, I'm done now. So when his feet is on the ground, that he can go for himself and think for himself, he's not moved, now you let him go. You let him go. And you know, so I just want to bring that testimony here, and I was saying about the healing from the first day of the surgery. The surgery has been beyond expectation.
Amen.
Beyond expectation. I've been praising God for that. It's not even, beyond the doctor's expectation. Everything just so fantastic with it. It just no pain, no bleeding, no none of that stuff that the doctor has been asking me about. It's been far beyond that. And so I praise God for that. And God is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is living today. He is healing today.
Amen.
He is delivering today.
Amen.
He is setting free today.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Comment, praise report.
Good morning. I'm glad you. I just want to give honor to God today. He's the Lord of my life. I just say, God, I'm in the presence of you all here. And also, I just thank God for his faithfulness to me. Even in times that I haven't always been faithful, I thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God for his word. And I don't know if all of you know, but there a couple of you know that I've really been going through. And which just kind of reminds me, the Lord just reminded me of scripture the other day, and it was many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. And I think God, that's been a reality for me this last 2 weeks. I had some additional things going on. And I have been praying too again for where the Lord wants to lead me, you know, in my life as far as ministry, as far as school. I give glory and honor to God. I finished my program. I was in college.
Right.
Yeah. Glory and honor to God. I think I'm going to make that. So I completed my program, my drug and alcohol program. I was going for a counselor. So I finished that program, 2-year program. And he pulled me through that. And so then, as soon as I finished that, I was faced with another situation. And my housing situation, I was told where I was staying that I couldn't stay there any longer. So I said, okay, Lord. So I said, I know you're not going to close the door, but I don't have no other option to go. So for a couple of days, but for a few days, I had just really been praying, and I had been fasting. I said, God, I know where is the opportunity at. And so just a couple of days ago, he spoke to me to call a friend who lives, she's a minister friend, who lives in Willingboro. And he said, call her to see how she's doing. So anyway, but prior to all that, he had spoke to me, and I'm still learning to hear his voice. And he said, I want you to quit your job, and I want you to work for this minister, because she is diagnosed with cancer, and she has a lot of different things going on. She has a lot of health issues. And I said, okay, Lord, but I'm not sure. Give me a sign. If that's really you, if that's what you really want me to do, show me a sign. So time went past, and all these other things started transpiring, and the lady told me that I had to leave. So even at that time, I didn't catch on that that was the sign for me to move on to do what he told me to do. But anyway, long story short, I called her on this past Thursday, and I said, well, how you doing? How's things going? Give me a current update. And she said, well, this is, I hadn't even told her you know, what I was going through. She says, well, I'm looking for someone. She's going in for surgery, so we pray, if you, you know, keep her in prayer. She's going for surgery on her shoulder. And also pray for God. I really believe God's going to heal her of cancer. And she said, but I need someone to, she says, I have a room. She says, I'm preparing a room. I need someone to stay overnight. I need someone to stay at my house to stay. And I was like, wow. And all the time before then, I was trying other avenues, and the door was closed. Every other place that I would try to go to, he would shut it down. So I said, okay, God, this is confirmation. So I will be moving back to Burlington County.
Good.
And I'll be moving to Willowboro. And so I will be moving, and probably in the next 2 weeks, I'll be transferring from Ocean County. I'll be moving here. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's been laying on my heart to come here. And it's good. Before I was like, well, I was like, come here, but I've been so far. So, and I really want to be rooted in a ministry where I can grow and use my gifts and just be used by God. So the Lord has been laying on my heart this ministry, you know, to grow and to do the things that He called me to do. So I just give glory and honor to God that He's been faithful. He's opening doors in my life, making the impossible in my life possible. And I just want to give glory and honor to Him.
movement in ministry and the gifts of offering and tithes, God.
We ask right now that you bless those who are giving in this season, O Lord. Bless them, God, and let their soul be prosperous in this season for their faithfulness. We ask that every seed, God, that has been pouring into this ministry, God, will water those who are thirsty, O God. Feed those who are hungry, God. Give shelter to those who have no place, O Lord. But God, we want to feed the nation with the word, O God. So, Father, we ask right now to allow the seed to open doors to the nation, God, that we may give the word to those who are starving and dying, O Lord, in the spiritual world. God, we just give you all glory and honor. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Great be he has done, greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done, oh, great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord.
Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.